السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد بإذن الله تعالى إن شاء الله we will complete the series on تزكية والتربية which began with تزكية begins or تربية begins at home and then we said تربية begins with توبة. I ended last week, if I recall, with pointing out the fact that Surah Al-Fatiha itself is Tawbah, as Ibn Al-Qayyim Al-Jawziyah Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, and he said that when the slave asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, he says, Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim, O Allah, guide me to the path of steadfastness, the path of righteousness, the path of all goodness. And therefore he is automatically making tawbah against everything which is not righteous and everything which is not good. And before he said Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, he established his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, by saying, O Allah, I worship only you and I ask help only from you. And this is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, give me what I am asking you. And that is the thing to understand for us when we have this beautiful surah, this tremendous resource that there is, which is when we ask the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are establishing our connection with Allah before we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. And as I explained to you, psychologically, this is what we do. This is what we do with in our relationships also. Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the mithal. We do not compare with Allah. But just for us to understand, we do this also in our regular relationships. Before we go to somebody to ask for a favor, we establish our relationships. You are my relative, you are this, you are that, and therefore I have come to you. I am not just walked off the street, I'm not just a stranger who walked into your office. I have some connection with you and therefore I'm asking you. And Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in is reinforcing of this connection. I remind myself and you, when we read Surah Al-Fatiha in Salah or we listen to Surah Al-Fatiha which the Imam is reading, let us go into that. Let us get the kayfiyat of the surah into our lives. When we hear these ayat, let us try to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that connection with khair, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that connection with the reality of that connection, inshallah. And then we say, Hidna Sirat al-Mustaqim, O Allah, guide us to the path of righteousness, and automatically we are making tawbah from everything which is not righteous and which is not good. And then we say, reinforcing of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. As I have mentioned before, the meaning wise, the surah ends with Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, because we have asked for the path of righteousness, and that's the long and short of it. That's where it ends. However, to reinforce that, two other things are said. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. O Allah, the path of those who you blessed, who the people who were on this path, therefore reinforcing that path of righteousness, but it's not righteousness as I may conceptualize, not righteousness as somebody else may say, path of those specific people who you blessed, righteous according to the criterion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not righteous according to me and you. We may have and we do have a lot of criteria by which we decide how righteous or whether somebody is righteous or not, or how righteous and what not. None of those criteria have any value as far as Islam is concerned. The only criterion which has value is the criterion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and that is because in the end only that is righteous which is accepted as righteous by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore the only one to specify, yes, this is righteous, no, that is not righteous, is Allah. I can't decide that for myself. You can't decide it for yourself. Somebody else cannot decide it for us. So we go by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore the path of righteousness, what is the slave saying there? He's saying, O Allah, guide me to the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the number one of those who are righteous, number one of those who received the in'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the anbiya, and the number one of the anbiya Anbiya is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And therefore, when we say, oh Allah, guide me to the path of the righteous, we are asking specifically for guidance to the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, what is the slave doing when he is saying that? He is making tawbah from all actions which constitute going away from the sunnah. He is making tawbah from all actions which constitute breaking the sunnah. He is making tawbah from all actions which are not according to or which are against the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim, this is what we are actually doing. So let us do that consciously, not just recite the surah like some kind of mantra without understanding what we are saying. Consciously recite, not just the meaning behind the meaning. Path of righteous is to ask specifically for guidance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the beauty and blessing of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we adopt it. We adopt it not like a burden, but we adopt it very joyfully, and we see it as a mark of our honor, that we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chose us to be honored as those who walk on the path of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a tragedy if we do not recognize our own honor. I mean, this is a terrible thing. How can you not do that? Right? Many times you find when somebody from a good family, you know, behaves in a bad manner, people say, you know, he comes from such a good family, now what behavior is this? You know, nobody in his family ever behaved like that. How come this person behaves like this? He comes from such a good, illustrious family. We are known by our connections. We are known by our affiliations. We are known by where we come from, whether it is genetically, chronologically, culturally, morally, and so on and so forth. So what is a better connection? What is a better wasila? What is a better silsila? What is a better ta'alluq than the ta'alluq with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Find me one person in the world who is of a higher stature, of a higher rank than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a Muslim, we know that there is no such thing. And therefore, this is what we are saying. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Oh Allah, give me the path of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then further clarification, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Oh Allah, not the path of those who attracted your anger. And when the person is saying that, he or she is making tawbah from all those actions which anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just a matter of saying, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, if you say the Jews and Christians. No. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said Jews and Christians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have mentioned Yahud wa Nasara. Why does he have to say, he is not speaking in riddles. He is not speaking in riddles for us to guess what is the meaning. No. When Allah said, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, it includes everybody who does anything which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that person is a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim or an atheist or whatever makes no difference. That is not the criterion. The criterion is, does the person or did the person do something which angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which attracts the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waladdallin, people who are misguided, people who have gone to an extent which is way beyond what they were justified in doing, even though this may have been with a good intention. There are two major ways in which we get misguided. One is by actually doing things which are haram, by actually doing things which indicate rebelliousness against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, or denying the faraid, and so on and so forth. That's one way in which we commit major sins. We ask Allah to protect us from that. Another way in which we commit major sins is where shaitan persuades us that actually that deed is a good deed. And usually this refers to giving respect or doing things like that. And this we do with the feeling that somehow we are doing something good. So we now take people and positions, and we raise them to a level where it becomes shirk. It becomes, and we introduce all forms of actions which we consider to be good in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which become bid'at and so on. So misguidance can be disguised. Misguidance can be disguised in the garments of guidance. So it is very important. How do you know what is misguidance and what is guidance? Through knowledge. And that is the reason why ilm is required. That's why knowledge is required. We need to study this deen. deen, so that we have the right criteria to judge what is right and separate it from what is not right. My brothers and sisters, there are some conditions of hidayah. When we ask, when we make tawbah, there are some conditions of hidayah. And the perfect guidance to Sirat al-Mustaqim cannot be attained with indifference to sin or persistence in sin. There is one of the reasons for su al-khatima, a bad ending, is israr al-ma'asi, is to insist on sin. We commit something and we continue to do that over and over and over, even though we know it is wrong. Please understand, there is a difference between a sin and a mistake. A mistake is the same thing. It's exactly the same thing in terms of its content. The difference is in the intention. A mistake is something that happens unknowingly. I didn't understand. I just did that. It was a mistake. But when I do exactly the same thing knowingly, it becomes a sin. If I am sitting in front of my father, if I am sitting in front of one of my elders, my teachers and so on, and when I get up, it so happens accidentally my foot touches that teacher, my foot touches my father, it is a mistake. I still apologize. I say I am extremely sorry. I did not mean anything disrespectful. He understand, I understand, no problem. Right? But the same foot, if I go and stand there and I kick him, is still the same foot touching the same person. But there is a way, the world of difference. I just went and kicked my father. Now, how intelligent is that? Right? That is the difference between committing a sin unknowingly and insisting on that sin. We know something is wrong, but we still do it. And we give some explanation for it. Oh, but it's a small sin. Please understand, small sins repeated become major sins. Major sins repeated become kufr and denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkam. We are on an escalating route, and therefore it is as I explained earlier, the mark of a muttaqi is that he does not get involved in the argument of whether the sin is a small one or a big one. He is conscious of the fact that every sin, whether it is small or big, is disobedience of Allah, who is big. Allah is not small. Therefore, any disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is big. Any breaking of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is big. Because we just asked for guidance on the path of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we go and do something which is not the path of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, I don't want to sit there and say what I think it is. You decide, right? So therefore, the condition of hidayah is to be immediately contrite, to be immediately regretful of what we have done. So insisting on sin, delaying tawbah, is something which is detrimental to the akhirah. So let us be very clear about that. So let me give you an assignment, as I give you from time to time. And that assignment is, when you go home today, list all the ways in which you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will do it and you will do it as well. Let us make a list of all the ways in which we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Minimum first requirement is, at least don't deny the fact that you are committing a sin. Because if you deny the fact that you are committing a sin, then you have no hope at all of correcting that. At least own up and accept that shaving your beard is haram. That shaving your beard is going against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you still want to do it, but at least acknowledge it, write down and say, oh Allah, save me from this sin. Save me from wiping out the sign of your Nabi from my face every morning. At least acknowledge it. Don't do it. Do not be unjust to yourself. Because if you deny it, if you accept, yes, I am doing wrong, then of course there is every hope in the world that one day, inshallah, the penny will drop. And then you will stop doing something which is wrong. I'm just giving you one example, because for some reason all the beautiful ones are sitting in front of me today. You should hide. If you don't want me to say all these things, go sit behind a pillar or something. So the point is that make a list of what you do wrong. Lying and cheating and this and that and whatnot and cursing and Allah knows best, right? So make a list of all the things that you do wrong and then make sincere tawbah. Now, conditions of tawbah are four. Number one, be sincerely contrite and regretful. Number two, hate the sin and never return to it. Three, ask the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And four, if the action is of a nature where you violated somebody's rights, then go and make up for that. Go and reimburse that person. It is not okay to swallow somebody's land or building and then say, oh Allah, I am very sorry. You are sorry, the other guy is sorrier. Right? So that doesn't work. What you did, you have to undo. If you slandered somebody, go and apologize to that person. No matter how embarrassing it is, it will be far more embarrassing on the day of judgment, let me assure you. Right? So don't do that. If you have done anything wrong, if it is something which impacted somebody else, go and make it right with that person. You go and apologize to that person says, go to hell, I don't forgive you, then the issue is not with you. You did your best. Right? But go and do it properly. Right? Don't go and apologize as if you are doing a favor to the person by coming and apologizing. Right? So be contrite, grovel, you know, fall at his feet or something. Allah knows best. But anyway, make sure that it is quite clear that you are conscious of what you have done and you are genuinely regretful about that, and that you will not repeat that in future. So four conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very, very clearly about these things in many ayat of the Quran. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tahrim, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا عسى ربكم أن يكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار يوم لا يخزي الله النبي والذين آمنوا معه نورهم يسعى بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم يقولون ربنا اتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the scene on the day of judgment, and he says, O you who believe, tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance. It may be that your Rabb will forgive your sins and admit you into gardens under which rivers flow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this for us, to forgive our sins and to enter into his Jannah. The day that Allah will not disgrace his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will not disgrace those who believe with him. The guarantee of not being disgraced on the day of judgment. Please understand, see the ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular case did not say Allah will not disgrace those who do right. Allah did not say Allah will not disgrace those who believe in Allah. Allah did not say Allah will not disgrace those who are Hafiz Quran. Allah said Allah will not disgrace his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who believe with him. The condition, the relationship is our ta'alluq with Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So please consider that when you make friends with Gillette in the morning. Yeah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what will happen to these people who Allah will forgive and not disgrace? Allah said, their light will run forward before them. The Muslimin, the Mu'mineen will emanate light. Their light, they will emanate light, and the light will run before them. It will illuminate their path on a day when there will be no illumination except the illumination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. And they will believe that Allah will not disgrace them, will not disgrace the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who believe with him. Their light will run forward before them, and with their record books in their right hands, they will say, our Rabb, keep perfect our light, do not put it off till we cross the Sirat, till we cross the bridge safely, and grant us forgiveness. Verily, you are able to do all things. My brothers and sisters, time to make choices. Time to choose where we want to be. The time to make a choice will end when we see the Malaika, when the door will close, when the other door will open. Until then, we have a time. And I ask you, in the name of Allah, make the right choices. You and I will not be able to say that I did not know how to choose. Please get this out of your mind. That is not an excuse. Ignorance is not defense in law. And neither is it defense in Islam. It is our job to find out. The message has been sent. The messenger has been sent. The reminders come to us week after week, day after day. If you still want to deny, then believe me, the onus of that denial is squarely on our shoulders and on top of our heads. We will not be able to escape from that responsibility by saying, I did not know. That is the one side of the story. The other side of the story, imagine this. Imagine this. In this dunya, whatever you are, maybe you live in a palace of gold. I don't think you do, but maybe you do. Let's imagine. But on the day of judgment, which would you choose? To live in a palace of gold and be in darkness on the day of judgment? Or to be on the day of judgment among those whose light will emanate before them, and they will follow Muhammad Rasulullah across the Sirat and into Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi ghairi hisab. Where would you like to be? I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in that second group, and where you and I all follow Rasulullah into Jannatul Firdausul Ala without hisab, inshaAllah. But we have to make some effort for that. My dua is not enough. Nobody's dua is enough. With the dua has to come some dawa, some medicine. Some effort. Yeah, that's important. Dua alone doesn't work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned those whose tawbah is accepted and those whose tawbah is not accepted. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about those whose tawbah is accepted. And he said, Jalla Jalaluhu, إِنَّمَا تَوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts only the repentance of those who do evil in ignorance and foolishness and repent immediately afterwards. It is they to whom Allah will forgive, and Allah is ever all-knower and all-wise. As I mentioned, the difference between a mistake and a sin. Very clearly, the Quran specifies that. What is a mistake? Which is what will be forgiven. Something you do without knowledge. Something you do in a passion. You got angry. You know it is wrong, but you said something. You do it. You know it is wrong, but you did something. Moment of weakness. Whatever it was. But shart is, condition is what? Immediately make tawbah. Immediately make tawbah. Not wait. Not delay. Definitely not repeat. The moment you start repeating, the nature of the thing changes. It is no longer a mistake. It is no longer a mistake. Now you are doing it deliberately. No longer a mistake. So therefore, different rules apply. And what are those rules? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the next ayah of the same surah, Surah An-Nisa. These are ayahs 17 and 18. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ, and there is no tawbah for them. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَدَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and of no effect, there is no tawbah, there is no, of no use is the repentance of those who continue to do evil until death faces them. They continue with that evil, whatever they were doing. They continue that until now they are standing in front of Malakul Maut. And then he says, Inni tubtul an. He said, I make tawbah now. Not accepted. Not accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly, no use is tawbah like this, which is made once the ghaib has become visible. So tawbah has to be made before that. So no use is the tawbah of those who continue to do evil until death faces one of them. And then he says, now I repent. And neither is the tawbah of those who die while they were disbelievers. These are two people whose tawbah is not accepted. Somebody who makes tawbah at the last minute, or somebody who just died without tawbah, without anything, died as a disbeliever. There is no forgiveness for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for them we have prepared a painful torment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. My brothers and sisters, Do not pick and choose. As I have said many times before, selective obedience is actually disobedience. You are picking what you want to, what you will obey. Therefore, automatically you are also picking what you are choosing to disobey. So therefore, now the nature of your disobedience became something else, which is a crime. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, see the ayat of the Quran, there is nothing ambiguous. Everything has been given clearly so that there is no excuse for somebody to say, well, you know, I didn't understand, it wasn't clear. Very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 85, Allah said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَادِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَادِ فَمَا جَزَاءً مَّنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَى شَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ أولئك الذين اشتروا الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة فلا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينصرون. Allah said, then do you believe in a part of the book and reject the rest? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you believe in one piece of the book and you leave the rest? Or you leave the other part of the book? What is your attitude? Allah is saying, do you believe in a part of the scripture, the book, and reject the rest? Then what is the recompense? What is the reward for those of you who do this? Except khizyun fil hayati dunya, disgrace in this life. Please understand, the effect of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only in the akhirah. Our amal decide the kind of life we are going to have. If we choose a life of disobedience, then become prepared for a life of great hardship, a life of dishonor, a life of lack of safety and like a lack of security. Because you are taking on to fight against the only one who decides anything. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do it with your eyes open. Right? And much better, of course, don't do it. So Allah is saying, what is the recompense for those who choose to believe in something and leave out the rest? Allah says, for them there is nothing except disgrace in the life of this world. And on the day of resurrection, they will be consigned to the most grievous torment. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next ayah 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are those, these are the people who pick and choose, they are those who purchased the life of this world at the price of the hereafter. What an amazingly stupid bargain is that? You buy something which is perishable for which you are paying with something which is forever. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Something which you have to leave behind no matter what. No matter what. No matter what you had. It's something that you will leave behind. If kings did not go with their palaces, you and I are not going to go with what we have. How many generations does it take to understand this very simple thing? How many generations does it take? Tell me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these are the people who pick and choose in obedience. They are the people who chose and who bought the life of this world at the price of the hereafter. And their torment shall not be lightened, nor will they be helped. Wallahu yunsarun. They will not be helped. We ask Allah to save us from being among such people. We ask Allah to open our hearts and to enable us to make tawbah and to guide us to the path and to stick on that path until our last day. Now for those who refuse to repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Anam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this refers to people who disobey, who are doing haram and they refuse to change and they continue in that. And because they find that they are able to do that with impunity, they feel that they are not doing anything wrong. Please understand, if a thief is stealing, if for example somebody is cooking up his taxes and he is submitting false tax returns, the fact that he or she has not been caught for the last 10 years does not now confer on them the right to submit such tax returns. A mistake or a sin which goes unpunished does not confer on that person the right to commit that sin. When the person will be punished depends on whenever the authorities take cognizance of the fact that this person was committing a sin. That may happen immediately, it may happen after a time, but the action does not become your right, action does not become right. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when these people, who? People who commit sin, and they have been warned and they have been told, but they continue over and over and over, then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Please notice the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not say, I will grab them, I will immediately punish them, I will strike, I will send a bolt of lightning to strike them on the back of their necks. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they continue and when they forget all that they had been told to take to heart, we threw open to them the gates of all good things. Yeah, imagine. The person is disobeying Allah. So what is happening to him now? His business is growing, his popularity is booming, he is getting this honor and that honor, and he is getting more money, and he is getting more influence, and he is getting more power and more authority. Sounds strange, no? Why would Allah want to do that? Because the doors of hidayat have been closed for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, until even as they were rejoicing in what they had been granted, we suddenly take them to task. Suddenly Malakul Maut comes and says, time to go. When you got to go, you got to go. Right? And then they were broken in spirit. Then they will try to run and hide here and there. What can I do? Where can I go? You can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. The time to do something else and the time to go somewhere else, long gone. Long gone. Somebody came to Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi and asked this question. They said, yeah, Imam, we see you say that good deeds beget good lives and bad deeds beget bad lives, but we see that this is not true in reality. We see that people who commit sins, that they are growing, that their businesses are growing. They're growing a business based on haram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made interest haram, but they are borrowing, and their businesses are growing, and they have more and more debt on their hands, and so on and so forth. Nothing bad is happening to them. You say gambling is haram, you say alcohol is haram, you say this is haram, lying and cheating is haram, but we find that people are not only lying and cheating, they have taken lying and cheating to a fine art, where now they not only lie and cheat, but they speak with great pride about how they were able to dupe this person or that person, how they were able to do this great deal by depriving somebody else of his or her rights. They speak about this with great pride. They don't hide it anymore. Corruption is not something that we hide anymore. Corruption is something that we wear on our sleeve. The more corrupt I am, the bigger I am, the more honor I have in this upside down world that we live in. It's not something that I need to be ashamed about. It's something that I am proud of, that I am so corrupt. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So Imam Shafi was told this. He was asked this question, that these are the kinds of people we say that all kinds of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they do, but nothing bad is happening to them. They are, you know, phal rahe hain or phool rahe hain. They are fruiting and flowering. So what did Imam Shafi say? Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi recited this ayah of Suratul Anam, ayah number 44. And Imam Shafi said, did you not read this ayah of the Quran? He said that is happening to them, and that is a sign that perhaps the doors of hidayah have been closed for them. My brothers and sisters, I'm not saying this to you so that now you can go and point fingers at people and say door of hidayah has been closed for you. No, that's not the purpose. Right? It's for us to look at ourselves. It's for us to look at ourselves. In the Wild West, we had these gunfighters who used to shoot from the hip. Today we have gunfighters who shoot fatwas from the hip. Huh? You are this, you are that. I tell people, forget about you. Look at yourself. Look at you. Allah is not going to ask your opinion what to do with whoever it is, right? Forget that. Look at yourself and say, where am I on this scale? So if, very simple way to understand, if you find that somebody in the world, in Islamically speaking, in the according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, success and failure is not measured by material success or failure. It's not measured by health or wealth or influence and so on and so forth. You have to take into account another factor, which is that is this health and wealth despite disobedience of Allah or after the person is also obedient to Allah? If the health and wealth is after the person is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have the the role model and you have the picture of somebody like Sulaiman alayhi salam or Dawud alayhi salam. Great wealth and kingdom and influence, but they were the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not disobey Allah. But if you have health and wealth and you still have disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have the model of Fir'aun wa Shaddad wa Haman. You have kingdoms, but you have disobedience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us these stories in the Quran, not because it's a book of entertainment, nice stories, bedtime stories, because we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the people and He described what happened to them, their endings. Why? So that we can look at ourselves and say, where am I on this? There is nothing wrong in seeking wealth. There is nothing wrong in asking Allah for wealth. There is nothing wrong in making dua for wealth or making effort for wealth. There is nothing romantic or cute about poverty. Please understand this very clearly. There is nothing great about poverty. There is nothing great about being in a state where you are asking other people for help. You should be wealthy, you should be strong, you should be influential. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to be role models to the world. A fakir, a beggar on the street is a role model to nobody. There's nothing romantic about that. Islam does not prevent us from doing that. Islam strongly encourages us to become very influential, very wealthy. But Islam shows us the way to do it. The way to do it. All kinds of ways of becoming wealthy and influential are not okay. And that is what we need to check. Not whether I have wealth or not. How did I get it? Where am I spending it? Not whether I have influence or not. How did I get it? Where am I using it? And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us again and again in the Quran. My brothers and sisters, our nafs misguides us and takes us into all kinds of directions, and the shaitan misguides us and takes us into all kinds of places. But do understand that at the end, the responsibility is on us. The guy who invented the mouse died yesterday, but the mouse is alive and well, and that mouse is in your hand, and that mouse is what takes the cursor to the website, which opens the page, and you see what you see and you read what you read. So you cannot blame it on the guy who invented the mouse. You cannot blame it on shaitan. You cannot even blame it on the guy who created the website. The responsibility is on the shoulders of the guy in whose hand is the mouse. So please let us be very, very clear that we have to be save ourselves, because shaitan will not leave us with any avenue of escape. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who acknowledge their sins and who make tawbah. And see the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah said, and there are others who have acknowledged their sins, but and they have mixed deeds. There's a bad deed and a good deed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn unto them with forgiveness and surely Allah is oft forgiving and most merciful. This inshallah includes us all, where we make mistakes, but we don't insist on those mistakes. We don't repeat those mistakes. We don't insist that the mistake is not a mistake. We make a mistake and we immediately make tawbah, and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us as He promised. What do you say, my brothers and sisters, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said the following with regard to His forgiveness? One of the most beautiful ayat of the Quran from Surah Az-Zumar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَّحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my ibad, O my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves. Remember, when we are sinning, when we are disobeying Allah, we don't harm Allah. It is against ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my slaves who have transgressed amongst themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. يَغْفِرُ الدُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Truly He is of forgiving and most merciful. What do you say about a Rabb who encourages us by saying this, that there is no sin that Allah will not forgive? Anyone who denies the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has denied this and many other ayat of the Quran. And they should be careful when they say, if they say something like that. Despair is haram. Despair from the mercy of Allah is haram. It's a denial of the Quran. No sin is unforgivable. Every single sin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. The worst of sins, which is the worst of sins? Shirk. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Allah said the worst of sins is shirk. But even shirk Allah will forgive, provided we ask forgiveness. If we die on shirk, then there is a problem. If we die on kufr, then there is a problem. But while a person is alive, a person can be committing shirk for his whole life. He can be worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his whole life. He can be denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his whole life. He can be committing every kind of sin. But before he or she dies, if they make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to forgive them. And the promise of Allah is true. The only catch in this game is that we don't know when that death will come. That is the problem. That's why we must make tawbah immediately. And finally, one of the most beautiful ayat of the Quran, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with the sins that He forgives? Imagine, how do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What kind of a Rabb is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except those who repent and believe in Islam and do righteous deeds, for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their sins into good deeds. Imagine, one is to forgive the sins. Slate is wiped clean, you start from zero. The other is, Allah is not wiping the slate clean. He is wiping the slate clean only with regard to the sins, and then those sins are converted into good deeds. You actually get hasanat for that. Ajib, see the mercy of Allah. How do you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? And Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. My brothers and sisters, what can we say about a Rabb whose mercy is such that He not only forgives sins, but converts the sins into good deeds, and for the one who makes sincere tawbah. So let us take the first step without any delay and ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Let us make tawbah right now. Yes? We are ready, inshallah. Make tawbah right now and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be obedient to Him from now onwards till the last breath in our bodies. Do not worry about the approval of this or that, the approval of he or she, the approval of anyone. None of them are going to be coming with you into your qabr. If you believe they are going to come into your qabr, go ask them. Right? Nobody will come. They will all be where they are. We go alone and we stand before Allah alone. So let us not fall into a trap where we are doing this or that in order to please this one or that one. Let us not do that. Let us do that which is right, and we know what is right. And that is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. We are coming into the month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Ramadan in good health, in perfect health and good strength, that we should be able to take full advantage of this blessed month. The month comes with a lot of promise, but the promise is only for those who take advantage of that promise. Otherwise, the month will come and go and we will be left bereft, and we ask Allah to save us from that and to save us from not being able to take advantage of the blessing of this great month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all your sins. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter you into Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la bi ghayri hisab. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve you from all kinds of difficulties in this life and in the next. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you among the ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.